Let's take our Bible and turn to Psalms chapter number 18. It is a joy to see you in the house of the Lord. I tell you what, in my Bible reading, when I'm reading through the Bible, can everybody hear me all right? When I'm reading through the Bible, we realize that there's many times the Word of God speaks to us in different ways. Sometimes you can read a passage of Scripture and it'll speak to you one way, and then you read it again and speak to another way. Same passage of Scripture, but it'll speak to you differently. But a lot of times when I'm reading through my Bible and I'm in certain books and different things, if I get a little, just kind of bogged down in reading to that, I'll stop right there, and then at the end of that chapter, and I'll go to the Psalms. And I'll just start reading a couple of Psalms, and just kind of wakes me back up, gets me going. And so I love to do that sometimes. Well, in doing that, Psalms chapter 18, I read this text, and I can't really say I've got a message tonight as far as just a great message and a great outline or nothing, but I got a great Bible.
Amen.
And I got a great God.
Yeah.
Amen. Psalms 18. The Bible says in verse number 1, Psalms chapter number 18, you're going to have to forgive my throat. I'm still fighting this little cough. Psalms 18, verse number 1. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. I wrote out beside of this little text, I will love thee. I wrote, this is the key to serving God.
Hey.
I really believe that. I believe the reason we don't serve God is not because we can't.
Yeah.
I don't believe the reason sometimes we don't serve God is not because things we're not available or don't have the ability and it's not there or we can't discern how to serve God. I believe the reason you and I don't serve God is sometimes because we just don't love God.
Hey.
Now, that's a strong statement. I know y'all ain't liking it a lot, but it's the truth.
Yeah.
I believe it's the truth. You say there's just something about love and something that just happens. It's not my message, but there's just something. But I believe this is the key to serving God is our love, our compassion, our desire for Him. I believe that's it. And we'll never serve God till we love God like we should. And I've always said this. We'll never serve God till we worship Him like we should.
Yeah.
And see, we'll never worship Him like we should worship Him until what? We love Him.
Yeah.
So it all keys into this thing of love. Now, I don't want you to testify. I don't want to embarrass anybody. I don't want us to testify and you don't have to stand. But I wonder how much do you love Him tonight? Now, see, it's really easy to say, I love you.
Yeah.
It's really easy to... There's many of people, and I'm not trying to be bring up bad memories or bad things, but there's a lot of people that told their wife that they loved them. Within a week from that, they was in love with somebody else.
Yeah.
There's a lot of ladies that told their husband that they loved them.
Right.
And in time, that love has grown cold, different. There's a lot of people that says, hey, I love this. And then you know what? Next week, they don't care nothing about that. They can love something else.
Yeah.
Amen. Some of us men are like that kind, ain't we? Some of us got this hobby one week and some other hobby the next week. Amen. No women start testifying now. But, well, the thing about love, we have a lot of, it's easy to say I love this, or it's easy to say I love that. There's a lot of things we can say that we love. But it's really something different when you truly do love something.
Yeah.
See, I've watched some of these senior saints that has a genuine love for their mate.
Yeah.
And when their mate, when their spouse is hurting, I see them hurting. Amen?
Yeah.
A genuine love. And so the Bible says, Psalmist says, I will love thee, O Lord. I wonder how do we love the Lord? How are we loving the Lord? How's our love life with Him? In Deuteronomy it says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. You say, well, preacher, that's the Old Testament. New Testament, Matthew 22:37 said, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind.
Yeah.
Amen. I believe the Bible teaches us that we're to love the Lord. And I just wonder how, if the key to serving God is wrapped up in this little four-letter word, love, L-O-V-E, if how we love Him will be how we'll serve Him. So you see somebody's not serving the Lord well, then their love for Him is not like that. Now, I know when we say serve the Lord, if you're talking about activities or stuff, there's finally going to come a time when you're not going to be as active as you are right now.
Yeah.
And that's for everybody in the building, from the youngest to the oldest. As if you're older here tonight, as you get older, you'll get less active. Come on now. And if you're young right now, there's going to be a time finally you're going to get to a point where you're going to be less active. You're not going to be able to do what you used to be able to do. So I'm not talking about the activity of the Lord. I'm not talking about activity things. I'm talking about your true compassion. Do you realize that people are sitting at home tonight that has better, more desire to be here tonight than you do probably? They would maybe empty their bank account just to be able to come and sit without pain or without agony and be able to sit and enjoy a service. Amen. And so we realize, he said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength. Now we ought to be shouting right here, amen. I mean, it's sure to be encouraging you and I. It's about as good as it's going to get. And encouraging us tonight, in whom I will trust. He's my buckler. He's the horn of my salvation. And he's my high tower. And in verse number 3, the Bible says, I will call upon the Lord. Here's the prayer. He said, we all need to have a prayer life, don't we?
Yeah.
And then he said, I will praise him. Who is worthy to be praised? And then he said, he's my protection. He says, so shall I be saved from my enemies. Then he mentions three enemies here. He mentions the enemy of death. He said, the sorrow of death can pass me. The floods of ungodly men. That flood's talking about like a tide coming in or rising. So evidently evil men is rising above, is being raised up against him, if you will. And don't it seem like that in our day, evil men, evil is waxing worse and worse. And then in verse number 5, there is the third one, the sorrows of hell can pass me about. The snares of death prevent. And so we realize that he talks about those enemies that you and I realize are true enemies. But my text is in verse number 2. The psalmist is speaking as a warrior. And all his life is in the battles and fights. Of course, we know David was a man of war. And he's a man of bloodshed. And that's one reason he couldn't build the temple. And so he begins to talk about his Lord. He said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. And I just want to deal with those little things there. And I want to say, his Lord is my Lord. His Lord is my Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for loving us and thank you for saving us. Now in the next few minutes, will you take your word? God, will you use the word of God to encourage the saints on this Wednesday night? May we be encouraged to serve you, encouraged to live for you. May we be encouraged to love you more. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. And the Bible says, the Lord is my rock. You know, the winds and the waves and the water may flow. And all the different things in life comes down. But that rock seems to just sit there, don't it? That rock just seems to endure time. Matter of fact, if you go to the creek, I was raised when I was about, so I went to 7th, 8th grade when Daddy pastored Heights Creek the second time. And so I was, 11, 12 years old right in there. And that's where I done my trout fishing up, what they call Heights Creek. And that was the creek that we fished. And of course, Daddy would sometimes would take us to other fish, other places. We'd go over in Robbinsville and fish some on different places over there. But anyway, and so I learned to fish. And so I was over preaching a meeting, Michael Scott was with me. I went over and I preached a meeting. Michael Scott rode back home with me. There's several of the people went over there. And Aaron was there and different ones. And Michael came out. I said, Michael, I'm going to stop at Heights Creek and we're going to fish a little bit. We went to a meeting and they gave us some time in the meeting to go fishing, and so we done some trout fishing. And I showed many of y'all some of the pictures. I'm in Heights Creek. I mean, it's just a small creek. Some places it's smaller than the aisle here in the church. And in a place not much small, probably a little bit about that size, I caught a 22-inch brown trout. Pretty, beautiful, pretty brown trout. And so, but I was thinking about when we pulled up there, and I told Michael, I said, now, you see this bridge here? And it was a bridge. When you go across the bridge, you take a right and go right up to the church and see the church up there. I said, we lived right behind the church. I said, at this bridge, I fished all the time. And I fished up and down this creek. And so, but you know, I looked down in there, and guess what? Them same rocks was there. Now, only thing had done in time, and I'm sure that they was done while I was seeing them before, I didn't know that they was there rounded off. But those rocks still stand. Those rocks will stand for a foundation. Stand for something that's established, something that's stable. Can I tell you, we got a God that's stable.
Amen.
Amen. We got a God that is stable. We got a God, we could call him the rock of all ages. I mean, he'll be there for us no matter what. And he is a foundation for you and I. And the winds may come and the waves may go, beat against it, and time may go through. But our God will stand the test of time. Aren't you glad we got a God? Hey, I'm trying to give you some reasons for loving him. There's some reasons for loving him tonight. He will stand the test of time. He's the Lord and he changes not.
Amen.
Aren't you glad our God don't change with every little thing they hear in the life? I'm glad our God stays the same. I'm glad our God, he don't change his Bible. He don't change his way. Hey, whatever was sin 1,000 years ago is still sin today. He don't change. I'm glad we got a God like that. And he's a seat but he's a firm God, a God we can stand upon. He's the Lord that is my rock. But all of that, he said, he's the Lord that is my deliverer. Amen. It seems like somebody's had a little bit of deliverance. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God. I was wondering about some of y'all if y'all have ever been delivered. But hey, I'll tell you what, God shows up sometimes. Hey, I think about in the Bible, there was a man by the name of Moses, and Brother Nix, he was leading out the children of Israel. And when he was leading them out, they had came to a problem. He came to the sea. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. He couldn't go to the left. He couldn't go to the right. And when he came to the sea there, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that Moses prayed again. He prayed the second time. He'd already prayed, and God's already told him. God said, go forward. And God said, I've already told you what to do. I need you to go forward. But the only problem about going forward was there was a water there. The Red Sea was there. And so, but he said, hey, you know that rod that you have in your hand? Raise up that rod. And he raised it. See the salvation of the Lord. And guess what happened? The great deliverer came on the scene.
Yeah.
And began to spread the water. Amen.
Yeah,
backed up that water. What amazing. I can just imagine. Now, we ain't talking about just 100 folks going over. Most people will conservatively say that there was either 800,000 to 1 million, and most people say there was probably around 2 million Jews that came out. So we're talking about anywhere from 800,000 to 2 million people walked across. And people have figured up how many people had to walk shoulder to shoulder. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot of them had to march across there, had to march across there in order. And I could just see that water just walled up. I mean, the wind blowed that water back. And I mean, the Lord held that water back. And I mean, we're not talking about just a little bit. We ain't talking about, we better can't get through here now. Let's go. I mean, he spread her up. I ain't no telling how high that water got. I could just see those little ears-like children looking and say, ooh, look at that fish in there. I don't know, but I'm telling you something. It was a miracle.
Yeah.
It was a God that did a miracle. It was a God.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, we got a God that we serve that is a deliverer.
Right.
And whatever is needed to be done. Hey, it seemed like something that was impossible. Well, guess what? We've got a God that specializes in doing the impossible.
Right.
What a blessing. Hey, I believe I could love that God. I think about when we got the children of Israel. They get into the land. And now Joshua is leading them and they come to Jericho. that great walled city. And God told them that wonderful, wonderful military plan to how to conquer that city. March around it 7 times. Blow the trumpets. Shout out. Shout. And well, guess what? And the walls came what? Tumbling down.
Yeah.
Hey, I serve a God that can bring walls down.
Hey.
I serve a God that can part the waters.
Amen.
Amen. I think about Elisha. I think about Elisha. And Elisha had a young man with him. And they had surrounded, the enemy had surrounded Elisha. And the young man was so nervous, and he came to Elijah and he said, "Oh, look how many people's against us." He said, "There's more for us than are against." He said, "Lord, open up his eyes." And he opened up his eyes and he seen all those chariots of fire. And he said, "There's more for us than are against us."
Yeah.
Amen. I'm telling you, he's a great deliverer. Now, I'm trying to get y'all to see his God's my God.
Hey.
His God's my God. And that God can still do things. Hey, he just didn't stop doing things in the Old Testament. We come to the New Testament. Now, I feel fine. I hate I'm coughing, but I feel good. If y'all shout and praise the Lord, we'll get out here in a little while. But if y'all don't, I feel good enough to preach an hour and a half. Amen. But, hey, we come to the New Testament. He made the lame to walk. He caused the blind to see. Amen. I mean, he touched the dead. Amen. And raised them back to life. He called them out of the tomb. Lazarus, come forth. Hey, that God's my God. Hey, that God is my God. That's God you and I need to love. David's God is the same God you and I have. The Lord is my shepherd, he said. I'm glad the Bible says it. Look what it says. He said he's my rock. He's my fortress, and he's my deliverer. Now, I skipped over that fortress. Because when we talk about fortress, let's talk about something that sustains, something like no outsiders can get in. You know, it's like being hedged in like Job was hedged in. I'm glad we got a God that can hedge us in.
Yeah, amen.
I believe we can love a God like that, don't you? You know what they said about Job? Satan said, "Well, God, you got a hedge about him. I can't get to him." I don't think God just did that for Job. I think God does that for all of us.
Amen.
Amen. I think anything that comes your way must come through the hand of God first. Bible says we're in his hands. Amen. And if anything God allows in our life, it has to come through the hand and permission of God to come into our life. And may I say, we have a wonderful, loving Heavenly Father that cares for his children. And he's tenderly caring for us. And the only thing he lets come in our house, come in our life, to embitter us. You know, we're preaching through the book of Ruth on Sunday night. Excuse me. We're preaching through the book of Ruth on Sunday night. And I was looking at a little bit of that today. And Ruth said this. She said, "I went out full and I came back in empty." You know, sometimes God has to empty us to get us where we'll be usable. Sometimes God has to empty us. So what happened was Elimelech and Naomi said, "I went out full and I came back in empty." Sometimes God has to work things out of us that he can work things in us to do through us what he wants to do. Even though I believe in Naomi's case, I believe it was their rebellion against God's law and them not obeying God and leaving out. But God allowed them to be able to do that. Sometimes in our walk with God, God allows things to come into our life. Not to hurt us. And to be honest with you, even though he touched her wealth, really, you know, she had no inheritance really coming back without a kinsman. When she came back, all they could do was glean in the other fields, even though she owned a farm when she left. Imelech, due to the covenant of that day, due to the guidelines of that day, she could not come back and claim that without that male figure, without that kinsman. Amen. But anyway, she lost that. She lost her husband. She lost her sons. But in the end, it's almost like Job. God blessed her.
Yeah.
Oh, what a great blessing. It's just like God gave her children. The Bible says, you'll have to read it for yourself, see what you think it means. But that it says she took that baby and nursed him. She took that baby, Obed, and then we know David comes through that lineage. There's the blessings of God.
Yeah.
You know what he is? A fortress. A fortress simply means this. It means the outside enemy may not be able to get in. A fortress means something that's protected, something that is that's not possible. No means of entrance. I mean, it's a safe place, if you will. Well, I'm glad we got a God that we can hide a safe place.
Amen.
A refuge from this old wicked world we live in.
Yeah.
Refuge from this old wicked day that we live in and time that we live in. I'm glad He's our fortress. I'm going to hasten on. Only that, the Bible says that He's our deliverer, my God, and He's my strength. Well, I'm glad that He's my strength. And then it says here, I'm going to skip that, and in whom I will trust. I'm glad we can trust Him. Aren't you glad you can trust Him?
Amen.
When the storms are raging, you can trust Him to stand by you.
Yeah.
Hey, when everything else is going on, you can trust Him. Wait, we got a God that is real and a God that can be touched with our infirmity. We got a God that we can trust and trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy. You can trust Him. Job said, I looked in front of me, I couldn't find God. I looked behind me and I couldn't find God. I looked to the left of me, I couldn't find God. I looked to the right and I couldn't find God. But you know what he decided to do? Just to trust Him.
Yeah.
Though he try me, I shall come forth as gold. So when we're going through these times and God, when God gets us in that protective hand and we're protected from the things around us. We realize we have a fortress. But you know there's a Greek mythology about the Trojan horse. And you know what that theology, you know what that is? You know, these men got inside this horse and they took him inside Troy and then the men got outside of it and opened up the gates where the army could come in and destroy the city. But the people took it in themselves. We got a God that's a fortress.
Yeah.
If we don't watch it, our problem is those things we bring in our life ourselves. Those things that we bring in ourselves, those things we allow to come in, we allow the enemy to come in, even though we don't realize it's the enemy. We realize that we're deceived, tricked. Satan can trick you. I wrote a paper when I was in Bible college on Satan, and my professor wrote above it, he's slick. I said several things about Satan, and I think I used S, and he used S, and he said, he's slick. I tell you what, the devil can fool you if you don't watch it.
Yeah.
So you know what? He can bring things in your life that are good, but they're not the best for you. He can bring things in your life. See, prosperity is not always the best thing for you. Prosperity caused a lot of people to leave the house of God.
Yeah.
And ministering these years in three different churches, I've seen prosperity cause people to leave the house of the Lord. I mean, they come in, didn't have hardly anything, and God began to bless them, and they begin to get a little bit of wealth, and then with that wealth, they begin to buy toys. Nothing wrong with toys.
Yeah.
You know what the difference toys, only difference between boys' toys and men's toys is the price of them. Amen. Nothing wrong with them if they keep their place.
Hey.
Nothing wrong with them if they don't become your God. Nothing wrong with them if they don't take you away from the house of God.
Yeah.
Amen. I've seen people get toys. And nothing wrong with buying campers. Right now, Aaron and I have got a project going with a camper right now. And may I say it's a project, too. Somebody say amen. Nothing wrong with campers. Nothing wrong with loving to fish. Well, I should have got a lot of amens right there. Nothing wrong with loving to hunt. You say, well, why don't you get on the women? I don't know nothing they do, so I ain't even. Hey, nothing wrong with those things until they keep you out of the house of God. Until they keep you away from doing the things of God and spending time in the Word of God. Spending time in prayer, spending time with your family, spending time in the house of God, worshiping, and your family, having your family where they need to be. Amen.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with it. Hey, God wants all of us to be prosperous. He wants us, but He knows what we can handle. He knows what we can have. He's a fortress. It's impossible to get through Him. The Bible talks about us being in His hands. Come on, sister. Bible talks about us being in His hands. We're in God's hands. These three boys up here, they're growing up on me, okay? Probably if I put something in my hands, they probably could get it out. They're getting strong enough to get it out. All three of them maybe could do it. No, I'm just joking. they probably could get it out. I wouldn't have much doubt about that. But I tell you what, William Carey said. He said, "One with God is a majority." Amen. Just one with God is a majority. And I'm gonna tell you, one with God, you're not gonna get nothing out of God's hands.
Right.
Amen. He's a fortress. I tell you what, it'd be awful easy to love a God that's a rock.
Right.
I mean, He's just always there for you. He's a stable. It'd be easy to love a God that is a deliverer. That's there, and a God that would help in the time of need. Deliver you. While she's playing, I want to read one more verse. If you got your Bible still open. Verse number 29. For by thee have I run through a troop. Troop's talking about an army. It's talking about a bunch of people. And he said, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. A wall's an obstacle that's in the way. You know what he's saying? He said, God's helped me to deal with the people that's in my life. God's helped me to deal with the obstacles that's in my life. Realize God's your helper tonight. God's your helper. His God's my God. His God's my God. We're standing our heads about. His God is my God. She's just going to play tonight. I wonder, do we really love Him? Matthew said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. I wonder, do we really love Him? Psalmist said in Psalms 116, I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplication. Joshua said, take heed therefore unto yourself that you love the Lord your God. Do you love Him tonight? Heads are bowed. Do you love Him tonight? Altars are open. One's praying. If you need to pray, will you pray?